الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: العلم نور، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, today 15th of January 2010 in Masjid al-Salihin, I intend discussing the role of the senses. Firstly, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman, and we praise Allah ta'ala for blessing us with Islam, and we praise Allah Jalla Majdahu for making us for the Ummat of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Shariat is very easy and simple, complete and perfect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many boons and favors, amenities and facilities, that if we have to enumerate them, we cannot count them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with 5 basic senses. When we talk of blessing us with 5 senses, we talk the majority. Allah Jalla Majdahu has given us the eyes by which we see. He has blessed us with ears by which we hear. He has blessed us with skin by which we have the sense of touch. He has blessed us the nose by which we smell. And He has blessed us with the tongue by which we taste. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this. We have got certain responsibilities to fulfill. If we fulfill these responsibilities, then we are being appreciative. As Muslims especially, because we are accepting Allah as our Rabb, our Creator, our Nourisher, our Provider, we have to firstly acknowledge that Allah has given us this. We have to firstly sincerely acknowledge that Allah has given us the ability to see, Allah has given us the ability to hear, Allah has given us the ability to touch, Allah has given us the ability to taste, and Allah has given us the ability to smell. As far as touching is concerned, the skin, medical practitioners tell us that that is the largest organ in the body. And after that, Allah has given us so many numerous organs in the body which are functioning. Without us pushing any buttons or anything, all these factories are functioning by the will and command of Allah. And these are huge, huge factories in our body. But because we don't take cognizance of what is happening, we take it for granted. So our first responsibility is that we have to acknowledge Allah has given us this ability. Second is that we have to be grateful to it. That we have to be grateful and appreciative. And thirdly, how we are going to show gratefulness is to utilize it where Allah wants us to utilize it. Concerning each organ, the eyes, the ears, the smell, the touch, the feel. Each one requires some discussion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent us onto this earth and left us alone. Allah has given us directives. The advantage as Muslims that we have got direction. Allah has given us the eyesight and given us direction. How to use it, where to use it, where not to use it. Allah has given us the hearing and has given us direction. That has blessed you with the ability to hear, and He has given us direction where we must use it, where we must not use it. Allah has given us, for example, the ability to speak, and Allah has given us directions what we must say, what we must not say. Allah has given us the ability to smell, and He has given us direction that we should smell this but don't smell that. Allah has given us the ability to touch and feel. At the same time, not leaving us stranded, Allah has told us that you can touch this but you cannot touch that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us, and we are not like cattle and sheep. We are not like animals. We can do what we want, how we want, when we want. Allah has given us directives, a course to follow, a method we have to follow that. If we follow that, we are appreciative. And when we are appreciative, that means we are grateful. Respected elders, concerning all these senses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with directions from Quran and Hadith and scholars and made it more easier. For example, before I came here, I just read a 5-page article written by our Imam Sahib, Mufti Maksud, father, Mufti Rashid, Damat Barakatuhu, where he writes a book about the beneficial things for a salik. The person who is treading the path of suluk, and in it he writes about the ahkam and adab of how to listen to a talk. And I should have translated it very easy also, but such beautiful advice is they given. Because generally, where I'm going here is the ear, but how to use it. That article will tell us how to use our hearing. That we'll be sitting in the masjid, how to use our ability to hear. Like Mufti Asikarai Bulanshari Muhajir Madhuri Ramsulale wrote one kitab, that Hifazat al Isan. How to control your tongue. Where to use it, where not to use it. And Hakim Akhtar Daud Barakatum has written one kitab on the effects of the evil eye. So we are fortunate that we have been given the abilities, and with that we have been given direction from Quran and Hadith, and we have been given dynamics with scholars who are telling us what to do, what not to do. Because if we have to go and search it ourselves, it will be cumbersome and it will be difficult. Respected elders, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us 2 eyes. And if you look around somewhere along your relatives or your friends or your kith and kin, you'll find someone has got 1 eye, has lost the ability to see with 1 eye. But you will never be able to know that person does not utilize 1 eye. That person will drive, that person will do everything like how a person got 2 eyes. So the question arises here, then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us 2 eyes? Why 1 eye can do the job, why give us 2 eyes? On the other hand, you see sometimes a person, due to some accident, etc., loses the ability to hear in 1 ear. But perfectly with 1 ear, he is able to comfortably live in the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us 2 ears. So now, philosophically speaking, the scholars write that Allah has given us 2 eyes. Why with 1 eye we look at our needs? With 1 eye we look at our needs. And with the other eye we look at the needs of mankind. With the other eye we look at the needs of mankind. Difficulty is what? When with both eyes we look at our own needs. That is the difficulty. It is me, I, my shadow, everything to do with me and my family and my people. But we are not looking at it globally, mankind-wise.
Similarly, Allah has given us 2 years. Why? Because with 1 year you're looking and you're listening at least to our needs. My needs I'm listening to with 1 year. But the other year I'm listening to the crying and to the call of mankind. For the other year I'm listening to the depression and anxiety and the feeling and the hurt and the difficulty and the trials and tribulation of the mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us eyesight, we have to use it in the right direction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in one hadith, the curse be upon the person who looks, meaning looks to the evil, with the evil intent, and curse be upon the looked upon. Respected elders, these days you also know, everybody knows this hadith. The meaning of it is that the first glance is forgivable. The first glance is pardoning. Don't glance the second time. Now what happens to us, what we say, no, that you know, you look, and when you look first time, you look properly, you know. So the first glance doesn't last for a second or for a minute or so, but the first glance you look and keep looking and keep looking. You say, no, wow, the first glance hasn't completed yet. You understand? To satisfy our lust and to satisfy our evil inside, either feelings and desires and whims and fancies. And first, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said that time will come that people will be dressed, but in reality undressed. Meaning that they have no clothing. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what hadith meaning, has stated that do not dress with transparent clothing. That reveals the contours of the body. Now this refers to the male and the female. People think only this refers to the female. This refers to the male and the female. That is why we utilize the kurta, that is why we utilize the loose clothing. And that is why we say clearly, don't use such clothing that when you go and sit there, the person in the back is highly embarrassed at what he looks at. This is happening. And the person when he comes to the masjid, especially wearing bermudas, etc., dressing atrociously, that person won't dress like that if he goes to the local court also. He won't dress like that if he wants to go to the local principal of the school. But in the masjid, he'll come just like that. And he'll dress that when he goes into sijda, the whole posterior is showing. There the question of khatar arises. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one hadith meaning that the woman, when she dresses, beautifies herself, adorns herself, and then she perfumes herself and goes out, she goes out like an adulteress. Meaning that when you go out and you want to attract the people to look, why are they dressed atrociously like this? Why are they dressing half naked like this? Why are they dressing as if to say they want no money to buy clothing? Why? They want people to look at them. I mean, it's so embarrassing, respected elders, that when you go to the local malls and shopping centers, that you cannot make out who is the mother and who is the daughter. And you cannot make out whether this is Muslim or non-Muslim. Because the non-Muslims are dressing half naked, but on the other side, the Muslim ladies are like full naked, walking around. So, control of the eyes is of utmost importance. It is stated that the eyes, if a person does not control the eyes, his complete qibla changes. That a person is neglectful of salah, that is a major sin. But if, for example, he makes salah and his qibla is slightly off, his salah is still valid. But what means to a person when he is looking at a woman and he is looking at something that is attractive, then his whole focus is being derailed. And once a person looks at something evil and is attracted to that evil, then the whole day he starts thinking about it. Then infatuation comes, then so far love comes, then the person is imaginative, then sin upon sin starts to accumulate. And unfortunately, when the eye is involved, Allama Al-Musi Rahmatullah Ali writes in Tafsir Ruh Al-Mani, then all the other senses get involved. And when a person looks and he is misled by his look, then his brain begins to work, his heart begins to work, his pounding and pulsating. Now he wants to move, his legs are moving in that direction. And his hands are moving in the direction. His blood is now boiling and moving. Hadith is clear that Shaitan runs in the blood of mankind, meaning taking him in the wrong direction. So just by one glance, that glance is evil, that the person's entire Qibla, the direction is moving away. And from the pleasure of Allah is going to the displeasure of Allah. From the mercy of Allah is going to the wrath of Allah. That is why all those who are involved in the corporate world, and all those who are involved where the ladies are coming and going, obviously you've got no control, and you have no control and say that I can stop the ladies. But the Sharia is giving us directive that control, Rabbul Basar, lower the gaze and do not fantasize, lower the gaze and do not be imaginative, lower the gaze and do not think about it, ponder about it, and deliberate to such an extent man becomes misled and wayward that when he stands for Salat, he's thinking of some woman that he saw, and he's thinking of some person of beauty that he saw. Allama in the Masnavi, Allama Rumi Ramtulali writes a nice story in the Masnavi that one person was walking and he saw a beautiful woman. When he saw the beautiful woman, he began to praise that woman. And he began to sing her praises and talk of her beauty, and he started praising her to her face. So she was also a little bit clever. Then she told him that you are amazed at my beauty. You are amazed at my beauty. But my sister is coming behind me, she's far more beautiful than me. My sister is coming, she's far more beautiful than me. Immediately this fellow orientates his vision. He started looking where she's coming. Exactly what happens in our society, locality, you'll find that you're driving the car, then you look what's happening. Then you walk in the bazaar, you look what's happening. Then you go in the mall, then you look up, down, what's happening. Then you look at one, then you're waiting for the next one to bypass. Hey, respected elder, Shaitan is using us and playing us like a yo-yo from this side to that side and destroying our morality and destroying our hayat. So as soon as this person looked where the other beauty is coming from, she gave one small smack and told him, see here, that you are so ungrateful and so disloyal that I just told you hypothetically of someone coming and you have already left me. And you claim that above of my beauty or your love for me. Respected elders, that our eyes is for our woman. Meaning our eyes is for our wife. And our eyes is not for someone else. Would you like someone to look at your daughter? Would you like someone to look at your wife? Would you like someone to look at your mother? Would you like someone to look at your sister? No, obviously. So why must we spoil our dunya and kabar and akhirat by looking at someone else's beauty and then glorify it and think about it in the heart? So respected elders, today we have discussed a little bit about the eye. Respected elders, how Shaitan misleads us, and via the eyesight, respected elders, that we can be misled. And once haya is gone, is a part of haya, fafalu mashiyatu, that when haya is destroyed, do whatever you want to. That is why you'll find, unfortunately, with the turban, with the beard, with the kurta, there's still this disease and ailment of evil glances and evil looking afflicts everyone. And everyone, including me, we have to take cognizance and say that, listen, this is wrong and this is supposed to be addressed. And the easiest way of addressing it is not to go in those places, and if you are going there to be on guard all the time, the Shaitan wants to attack me by all these movements of attraction. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to practice and appreciate the senses which Allah has given us. We use it valuably how He told us, we will be rewarded. If we do not use it valuably how He told us, then we will be destroyed. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.